Well, why don't we bow our heads as we come before God's word this morning. Lord, we do just thank you for your word, and we pray now that as we open it, that you would speak to us, that you would help us to grapple with it. But more importantly, Lord, we pray that you would help us to take it with us as we go out of here later on and apply it to our lives. And we ask this in your name. Amen. Now, court cases are a regular feature today. Some of you actually have court cases pending as we speak. There are labor issues, and we just have to watch the news to find out about those. There's crime, there's violence, and often we will sit and we will think, how can we progress with all these things going on? How can we improve our own specific situation? How can I guarantee my safety through life? So some people, in an attempt to guarantee their safety, will erect high fences around their houses and top them with electric fences. There's a house just down the road from us as we sit here in the church that has erected a massively high palisade fence. They've got a 6-strand electric fence on top of it. And just to top things off, they've got 5 or 6 powerful spotlights on each side of the house. It's brighter than daylight when you walk past there at night time. Why? Because they're trying to be safe. They want safety where they stay. Others will tell us that safety comes from a healthy bank balance. And so we work really hard at getting that good bank balance. Even others will say that safety comes when we lead a healthy lifestyle. And so we must eat right. We must do the right thing. We must exercise. Then we will be safe in this life. Now in this psalm this morning, in Psalm 16, David prays to God and asks God to keep him safe. You'll notice the opening phrase of chapter 16, verse 1. Keep me safe, O God. I wonder if this psalm is not a plea from David for safety, for security in this life. Over the past few weeks, we have been looking from Psalm 11 through to Psalm 16 so far, and we have seen that David's life has not been the best of lives. He has faced struggles, he's faced hardships, he's faced difficulties. But what we've discovered is that through each and every one of them, David continues to trust in God. Now, in many aspects, Psalm 16 is the same as some of these earlier psalms, in that David is facing something, some difficulty, and hence asking for God to keep him safe. But in many other aspects, this psalm is different in that it doesn't address a specific problem or struggle that David is facing, but shows how he can have satisfaction in this life as he takes refuge in the Lord. And I think David speaks about 3 different attitudes, if you like, in this psalm. He speaks about a commitment, he speaks about contentment, and he speaks about confidence. And I want to have a look at each of those 3 attitudes or approaches to life as we get into this psalm. So firstly, this morning, a commitment. See, the key to satisfaction in life, the key to being kept safe in life, is about a commitment to something. So some people will commit and pour out hundreds and thousands of rands. Their commitment is to security. So armed responses, high walls, patrols, secure complexes, and whatever the case might be. But David tells us that our security in this world, our safety in this world, it's not through armed responses, it's not through all these other things, but is, verse 1, because he takes refuge in the Lord. So look at verse 1 there. He says, keep me safe, O God. Why? Because I take refuge in you. Refuge is just another word, really, that means that I'm trusting in you. And so David says, keep me safe because I trust in you. Now, although this is David's prayer, it's I think more of a statement than a command or sign, because he says, because he follows God, you will keep me safe. Now, I think it's important just to spend a few moments, because David actually does that in the psalm, and David shows us what it means to be kept safe in the Lord. And before we look at what it means to be kept safe in the Lord, let's look at briefly what it means to take refuge in the Lord. Because David says God will keep him safe because he trusts in God. So what does it mean to trust in God? Well, David says, firstly in verse 2, he says that he is committed to the Lord. In other words, he submits to God. That's what it means to take refuge in the Lord. Verse 2, you are my Lord. Now, we often think of the word Lord as being the name for God, as being the name for Jesus. So we'll speak about Lord Jesus, or we just pray, dear Lord. But Lord is really a word that means someone who is above us, someone who is a ruler, someone who is over us, someone who's in control of us. And so what David is saying when he says, you are my Lord, he is in fact saying something like this. And if I can paraphrase and say, David is saying, God the Father, you are my boss. That's really what David is saying here. You tell me what to do, God. You have control of my life. And so David is saying, I take refuge in you, Lord. In fact, I have committed my life to you and allow you to take control of every area of it. Now, David is not just being superficial and super spiritual here. He's not just saying that God take control of my Sunday mornings. He's not just saying God take control of my quiet time at home. But he's saying, God, you have control over the whole of my life. Every aspect of it. Every hidden area of it. Every part of it. For notice what David goes on to say. In the second half of verse 2, apart from you, I have no good. So not only is David committing his life to God the Father and allowing him to rule his life, but he is saying that actually outside of God, there is nothing good in my life. His delight comes from the Lord. So in other words, what David is saying is he wasn't excited about the latest spear or sword that was on the market at his time. He wasn't excited about the fact that perhaps he was earning a fat cat salary as a king. The thing that excited David the most is the Lord himself. Now, how different is that from us today? How many of us get excited about the fact that they're releasing the latest cell phone, or that we're going on a holiday, and that is the thing that drives us for the next month? Or perhaps we are getting overly excited about that member that is coming, the member of the family that is coming to visit us. David says, outside of God, he has no joy. There is no good thing. David delights in God. He gets excited with God. He wants to hear what God has to say to him. And as Dale Ralph Davis says, that David has that total commitment package. Not only devotion by saying, you are my Lord, but delight in saying, from you, I have no good thing. And Dale Ralph Davis goes on to say that this is what obedience to the first commandment looks like. David is saying, God, you will protect me because I take refuge in you, because I have committed my life to you, because I allow you to take control of my life, because I delight in you. So friends, you and I'm sure we want protection in this life. David says our protection comes from a commitment to the Lord. So are we committed to the Lord, you and I alike? Do we say, you are my Lord, to God, the Father, to Jesus? Or do we say, you are the Lord of my Sunday mornings, you are the Lord of my, you know, my quiet times, you are the Lord when I'm there at meal times, but the rest is mine. But notice that David doesn't just stop there, and he doesn't just say that that is all about a commitment to God is about. He says, in fact, there's more, because look further on in the psalm. David says that his commitment to the Lord and his delight in the Lord also leads to the delight in the people of the Lord. So verse 3, as for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones in whom is all my delight. Now I know that often the very people that give us the hardest time in life, the heartache and the grief, are found within the church. But is that not a little bit like our own families? Our children, they might have missing teeth, they might have running noses, they drive us up the wall sometimes with all the shenanigans that goes on. But what do? We still delight in them. We still welcome them into our homes. We still love them. We're still there for them. And in the same way, that's what David is saying here. If we are truly committed to the Lord as our boss and find our delight in Him, we will want to meet with other Christians, even if they sometimes drive us up the wall. Is that not exactly what Paul actually tells us in Colossians? Colossians chapter 1 and verse 4, where he commends the people for their faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that they have for one another, for all the saints, Paul says. In many aspects, friends, it's synonymous with a commitment to the Lord, a commitment to Christ, is a commitment to God's people. That is why a true Christian will want to come and meet with other Christians. And that's how church should be, friends. There should be an excitement, not only to hear from God at church, but to meet with the people of God. And the willingness to sit with them. And can I perhaps say that the opposite of that is, if I'm not excited about coming to church, if I'm not excited about meeting other people, God's people, then I wonder if we shouldn't be worried about our commitment to the Lord. Because for David, it is one and the same thing. A commitment to the Lord means delight in the Lord and delight in His people. Well, there's one more commitment that David makes in this psalm, and that is found in verse 4. And that is a commitment not to look elsewhere for help, for support, for safety in a sense. He says, don't live the double life. Now, David is not saying here that we can't call on the armed responses. He's not saying we can't build high walls around our homes. But notice what he does say. Verse 4, the sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. I will not pour out their offerings or their, what is the word here that the NIV use, their libations of blood, or take up their names on my lips. David is saying that a commitment to the Lord means that we are committed to Him. We're not following God and then saying, well, but actually, you know, God's not going to provide for my safety, so let me spend thousands and thousands and thousands on security. Not that we mustn't not spend money, but we mustn't make security our God in a sense. David says that if we say we have a commitment to the Lord, then we must not take part and make other things more important than Him. And whether that be other religions or other religious practices. But hey, how many of us do that? We commit to God, yet what do? We run after the God of leisure. We commit to God, but we are driven by the God of commercialism. We commit to God, but we refuse to stop certain family practices, or perhaps like praying to the ancestors. And we call on the ancestors for help. When in fact, David says here, if we trust in God, we must not trust in other things. If we have committed to God as our boss and we can delight in the Lord and His people, then we are to follow Him and Him only. Now, I know we've spent a long time on this first issue of commitment, but I think it's important. Because without this commitment, the rest of the psalm is pointless. Unless we trust in the Lord, unless we hand our lives over to the Lord, unless we rejoice in the Lord and in His people, well, what follows doesn't matter. So David says that we must have a commitment to the Lord. But secondly, he says that because of this commitment to the Lord, we can have contentment. Because David is wholeheartedly committed to the Lord God, he can be content in his life despite what he is going through. And so verse 5, Lord, You have assigned my portion and my cup. You have secured my lot. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. Now, how can David say that? Many of us know the story of David and what he went through in life. He was hunted by Saul. Attempts on his life were made regularly by King Saul. His son tried to deal with him. Goliath taunted him. How can David say that my lot is secure, that the boundary lines have fallen in pleasant places? Doesn't David know what life is like? Well, of course he does. But David is not looking at those things for contentment. David is not worried about what is going on in those things because he is content in life because God sustains and orders his life. God has assigned him his lot, his cup and his portion. In other words, God knows what you are going through. And David has contentment in that, knowing that God knows what he's going through, because he also knows what's in store for him later on. A great inheritance he speaks about here. And he speaks about the fact that because he gets his counsel from God, he can have contentment. I remember a time when we as a family were at Bible college. We had no income. This was in our first year there. We had very little income. We had no money coming into our bank account per se. We were living on interest from an investment. And, well, I can't remember exactly how it happened, but my glasses broke. Now, I can't drive without them. In fact, I can't survive much without my glasses, as those of you who wear glasses will know. what were we going to do? You know how much glasses cost? I think in those days it was about 1,500 or 1,700 rand to replace my glasses. But I couldn't live without them, so I went to the local optometrist. I had the tests. I ordered new glasses. And the time came for me to pay, and I was worried. I knew there wasn't money in the bank. I knew I was going to have to try and make some sort of agreement with the optometrist to pay them off. From where, I don't know. So I went to the bank to go and draw what little money was in the bank, and, well, to my surprise, there was 1,700 rand in the bank account. I don't know where it came from. Still don't know today. But it was there when I needed it. God had assigned my portion and my cup. My lot was secure, and I could have contentment in life. Because God knew where we were at. God was there for us. But David says, not only is God in control of our lives, but we can be content as well, because there is a great reward waiting for us, a great inheritance. And that is the thing that we look forward to. So we can look beyond our struggles, beyond our problems, beyond our difficulties, and look to what God is going to give us. I think this one we're fairly familiar with. It's like running the race to get the prize at the end of the race. It's the thing that drives us through the whole race. And in the same way, this inheritance, this great reward that is coming to those who've committed to the Lord will receive. Of course, we know that it is the reward of heaven, the reward of being with the Lord Himself, away from all pain and struggles and sufferings. But notice, thirdly, that in contentment, David says, verse 7, I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. You notice that there? God counsels David. How? Through His Word. Through what God has told us. And so, for the true committed Christian, God speaks to me through His Word. As I stew over the things in my life, as I face the struggles of day-to-day living, God speaks to me in His Word. Those little memories, those little verses that we've learned over the years jump back into our mind. The reminder that God works all things for the good of those who love Him. That the Lord is my strength. That God is faithful. That God understands our sorrows. And, well, the list could go on and on and on of Bible verses, of passages of Scripture that God counsels us with during hard times. And in fact, for the true Christian, this counsel even happens when we lie in our beds at night, as we regularly pick up our Bibles and read them. Can you see what David is saying here? That with a commitment to the Lord, we can have contentment in the Lord, that regardless of what life throws at us, God is there with us, and we will receive our inheritance. Oh, what a great encouragement for those of us who are going through hard times now. Keep me safe, O God. Why? Because I take refuge in You. Because I am committed to You. Therefore, regardless of what happens, I know You are in control, and I will receive a reward. So that brings me to my third comment this morning. The third attitude, if you like, of life, and that is confidence. As David says in verse 8, I have set the Lord before me, or I have taken refuge in the Lord because. Why? Because of what? Why has he set God before him? Why has he taken refuge in the Lord? Well, look at the second half of verse 8. because he is at my right hand, and I will not be shaken. What a great confidence to have in the Lord, knowing that God is right there with us in the middle of our difficulty. And you know what? We cannot be shaken. It's always easier to go somewhere, to somewhere new, when you've got someone with you. It often gives us confidence to do what we need to do, knowing that there is someone there who's with us. And so likewise, we can have confidence that in the middle of life, in the middle of our struggles, in the middle of our difficulties, God is there with us for those who have truly committed to God. And guess what? We will not be shaken. So you see what David, how David reacts to this, verse 9. Therefore, and I suppose we could say, therefore, in the middle of my difficulties, in the middle of my struggles, in the middle of the rubbish that life throws at me, what does David say? My heart is glad, my tongue rejoices, my body also will rest secure. And the reference to the heart, of course, is to the center of our emotions. And the reference to the body is, of course, to the physical side of things. So David is saying, because of my commitment to the Lord, because of the fact that I can be content in the Lord, I can praise the Lord through thick and thin, with my whole mind, my whole body, and my whole soul. Knowing, verse 10 and 11, that God will not abandon me to the grave, nor will he let your Holy One see decay, because you have made known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. So friends, do you want to be kept safe in life? Do you want help in this life? Well, David says, by a true commitment to the Lord, by giving our lives to him, by allowing him to control our lives, by delighting in God, by delighting in his people, and by following him, by knowing that we can have contentment in life because he is there with us, he's got his hand over us, he really says, nothing can therefore separate us from the love of God. Not even death, not hardship, or, well, you fill in the blanks as to what you were going through. You know what? Nothing can separate you from God. So the bottom line, we all face problems of various kinds and various intensities. We all struggle with things in life, and we're all looking for help in the midst of those struggles. Can I ask a question? Do you follow the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind? Or is God perhaps a crutch to you? Someone that you only serve, you only come into church when things aren't quite going right? Well, as David says, don't make your sorrows increase as you look for help to the hundreds of other places. Turn to God, follow him, trust him, worship him, praise him. Let's pray. Lord, we do come before you this morning and we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can take refuge in you. But Lord, we pray that you would help us to commit our lives to you. Wholeheartedly, not just part of them, but completely, to make you the boss of our life. We pray, Lord, that you would help us as we give our lives to you, as we trust you in every area of our life, that you would help us to be content with where we are, knowing that you are with us and that nothing can shake us. And so, Lord, we pray that you would give us the confidence for life as we go from here. And we ask this in your name. Amen.